Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. Scripture quotations marked ESV are from the ESV Bible, the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Scripture quotations marked NIV are taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV. Copyright 1973, 1978, 1984, 2011 by Biblica Inc. Used by permission of Zondervan. All rights reserved worldwide. Zondervan.com. The NIV and New International Version are trademarks registered in the United States Patent and Trademark Office by Biblica Inc. The message this week is titled Suffering Yet Joyful. Thank you to Jeff and to Don for their work on this service. The scripture reading is 1 Peter 4, 12-19. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal, or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Pleasure to see you all here on a damp day. As you may notice, I can do this now. So I thank you for your prayers and everybody's kind notes. And so I'm on the mend, which is, I'm very blessed to be on the mend. So this morning we're going to begin with a prayer. We have a number of people who have ongoing health issues, or who are continuing to mourn for lost loved ones, and so let's bow and go to God now. Lord, we thank you for this time to spend together. We thank you for your church gathered everywhere throughout the world. We are aware of those who are away from us for traveling reasons or health reasons or concerns. We ask for your presence in their lives. We ask that we continue to reach out to those we haven't seen in a while, that we continue to be a community even as we are dispersed. Thank you for the great blessing of our community, of our church family. Thank you for those who are working hard in the phone ministry, those who are connecting online. Thank you for all the myriad ways that we can continue to be in touch. Thank you for the great uniter of your Son. Thank you for his great gift to us of his life. And please give us the same attitude that he had to put our wishes aside, our wants aside, and to be your hands and feet in this world. As we gather together this morning, we ask for minds turned to you, for thoughts centered on you, and for a time of renewal and refreshment in your presence. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Glad you were able to find a seat this morning. We're delighted that you are with us, and I want to spend a little bit of time today talking about a book that its theme is something that a lot of people in our society today are feeling. It's the word suffering, and the word suffering is just a word. But when you look at that word and put it into perspective, there have been times in each of our lives where we have suffered, whether it be through a great physical problem. Sometimes greater than the physical problems can be emotional, intellectual, relational, and everything else. I'm saying this because the book of 1 Peter is a wonderfully positive, helpful, tremendous faith-based book, and yet suffering surrounds it all. If there's a word that's used more often than any other word in 1 Peter, it's the word suffering. It's used 18 times. So let me just suggest that if you received an email from someone, and it wasn't overly lengthy email, but the word suffering was used 18 times, you'd get the idea how this person is feeling. And Peter, when he writes this letter, knows that his life is going to come to an end probably sooner than later, simply because he is a Christian and he's preaching faith and he's preaching that Jesus Christ is Lord, even in our suffering. And the Roman Empire at that time didn't want any kind of talk like that. The emperor was considered a god, and they didn't like Christians going around talking about this Jesus being Lord. And so many of these great leaders of faith, both Peter and Paul, were executed about the same 6 months from each other. They were both executed. And yet both of them, even though they have suffering in their life, they talk about hope and joy and inexpressible joy. So if you have a Bible, you probably don't have a Bible with you, but if you have a phone with your Bible on it, all I want to do today is go through this book and move through it fairly quickly. And I just want to emphasize what the writer Peter does, talking about faith even during difficult times. I was reading the book of Philippians the other day. We're in 1 Peter, and Peter's writing 1 Peter, of course. But in Philippians, here's what the Apostle Paul says. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also, guess what he says next? But also to suffer for him. God is granting you. God is allowing you. God is giving you this opportunity to suffer. And that's just something that is difficult to comprehend. But I suspect one of the things that Peter and Paul suggest is that in suffering, we can be an example to those around us. Now, let's face it, there are people whom you may know who are not dealing well with the situation that we're in, this pandemic. There are people who are suffering. They are losing relationships. They have a tremendous amount of anxiety. They haven't had a good night's sleep since it started. They have horrible, horrible nightmares. They suffer emotionally, great grief and great pain. And it does not help when someone comes along and says, well, you shouldn't feel like that. I have no problem in my life. Doesn't help anyone. We're all in this together. And for those who have go to sleep at night and have wonderful, lovely, pleasurable, peaceful dreams, good for you. Where there are others who don't. And where others who go through life where they have no kind of economic or difficulties, good for you. Others don't. And for those of you who have great relationships and it just keeps growing, 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 good for you. Others don't. So in this pandemic, we're here to help one another, to reach out to one another. Many of you have read the book, Man's Search for Meaning, a classic book for all time written by Viktor Frankl, who served in the concentration camps in World War II and saw many people, his good friends, dying, he said, to live is to suffer. To survive is to find meaning in your suffering. He decided from that moment that even though people all around them are suffering and dying, he will find a meaning and a purpose in this life. And he did. He became this great encourager of all the people around him. And he basically would come along people who were literally physically, emotionally, intellectually dying, put his arms around them and said, it's okay, God's with you and I'm with you. And he would pour his hearts out into them. If you've never read that book, I suggest that you do so. Saying all that to say that when Peter writes this book of 1 Peter, Christians are suffering. Some of them have been put in prison. Some of them have been executed. And so what is Peter going to say about all of this? So I just have a couple of verses that I want to share today. And I think some of these verses can be helpful. In 1 Peter chapter 1, and again, suffering is used 18 times in this letter. Listen to what Peter says. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, never spoil, never fade, even in a pandemic, never. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though for now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief of all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, that your faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him, and you're filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Suffering and joy. They seem the opposite. But Peter is saying, even in our suffering, we know the faith God has in us. And we want to return that faith in him. Amen? If God has faith in us and chose us, then we choose him, and we have faith in him. And so Peter talks all about this suffering in Christ. And in verse 10, he says, concerning this salvation, who spoke the grace that was to come to you, searched intently with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that will be revealed to them, that they were not serving themselves, but Christ himself. So there's this great book. It's a brief book, and he emphasizes the glory that we have in Christ, even though going through difficult times. Okay, so 1 Peter chapter 2, he says, verse 2, like newborn babies, we crave spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. And then he says this, and just for a moment, think of you receiving this letter from Peter. And I don't think that's an exaggeration. Peter didn't write to just a group of Christians. He wrote for all of us. And just imagine you receiving this letter from him to you, and here's what he says. You are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are God's special possession, so that you may declare the praises of Christ, who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, forgiveness, but now you have received mercy, forgiveness. You are the people of God. And so he says, dear friends, as foreigners in this world, there are desires that come upon us that we want to push aside. And I think when it comes to these desires that he's talking about, that right now dealing with the pandemic, it's staying away from those thoughts that come to our mind that might be overwhelming to us, negative, coming upon us to destroy us, whether it be in bad dreams or anything else, remembering that Christ whispers to us and sometimes speaks loudly to us. I'm with you. I've never left you. I'm right here beside you. I will never, ever leave you. So he says, live such good lives, being that example to others, even though there is suffering in our lives. And then in chapter 3, he says this, chapter 3 and verse 14, but even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. But in your hearts, reserve Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And do this with gentleness. And do this with respect. If we could just go through every single day remembering, no matter what is happening to us, Christ is in us, beside us, loving us. And so in 1 Peter 4, we're almost finished, he talks about not being surprised because of suffering. 1 Peter 4:12, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come upon you. This might test your faith as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ. Now let's face it, we don't have the physical suffering that these people faced. When someone found out that you were a Christian, if you lived back then, and reported it to the authorities, it might be the last day of your life. Or you might be thrown literally into a lion's den. Or you might be thrown into an arena to be embarrassed and ashamed and finally killed by an animal. Or there might be just some horrible prosecution that not only you are thrown into prison, but all of your family are thrown into prison and onward. Those horrible things that happened in the first century. And Peter comes along and says, don't be surprised at these fiery ordeals. We don't have that kind of suffering. We have sometimes mental health difficulties, emotional health difficulties, or just sorrow because loved ones are being ripped apart in their relationships, or jobs that are coming to an end and we're not knowing what to do. And children who understand and see all of that, they can't put it into words because they're too young, but they know something's not right and they don't sleep well and they go to school and they don't feel well and they don't know why and they can't put it into words because they're so young. Everybody deals with these things. And as a parent or a grandparent or a brother or sister, whatever, you just want to hold on to say, it's going to be okay. And it is going to be okay. Because in Christ, it will always work out for His purpose and His glory. But as Christians, we want to be an encouragement to one another. And so Peter finishes this book with these optimistic words. He says, "Humble yourselves under God's mighty hand. Allow God," those are my words, "that God may lift you up." Allow God to lift you up. "Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you." When I say allow it, we often can read it, understand it, but not do anything about it. And what Peter is saying is to suffering Christians, "I'm giving you advice, but they don't just go into your mind. Do it." He said, do it. Humble yourselves under God's mighty hand. Allow Him to lift you up. Cast your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. And be alert of a sober mind. Yes, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking to devour you. But resist him and stand firm in your faith. So as we go through our life, we want to remember that Christ is our Savior, even in our anxiety and even in our pain. So you may be with us this morning. For those of you who are in our pews, for those who are sitting on your couch, who will be watching this and listening to this, or on your computer, no matter what's happening in your life, if you could picture in your mind, you are not alone. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is with you 24/7. And you have brothers and sisters of faith who pray for you all around the world, as maybe you have prayed for others around the world. They may not know your name. You don't know their name, but you pray for all of them. This pandemic will end, but may our faith never end. Amen.
I'm going to carry on from where Don was talking in a little detail in the fourth chapter. He mentioned that Peter says we should rejoice in our sufferings, and that seems so counterintuitive. Why should I be happy with anguish? And notice what he says about it. As Don pointed out, we need to rejoice because we participate in the sufferings of Christ. He mentioned earlier that we can be examples. Of course, we look to Jesus, who is our example. Some translations use the word share there, but I like participate because it's an active word. Some of you may have been the sixth man on the court Friday night with the Raptors, and you're probably still in denial. But you were participating with them, feeling those same things. Or perhaps you're willing the ball to drop when Brooke Henderson has a putt that's just about to fall. Or if you read bestsellers that take place in some exotic locale, you're transported there. You're sitting out on that same piazza, enjoying that great feast and looking out over the verdant lands that have produced that. We have a way of joining with those things. You feel with your heroes. But of course, Peter isn't writing to this kind of situation at all. As Don pointed out, these people are enduring a hardship that we can't even imagine. from the time they put on Christ. They've had friends turn their backs. They've had families disown them. They've been facing the hostility of the Jewish leaders. And increasingly, the government singles them out as anti-establishment. And yet Peter says, rejoice. Why? Because you participate with Christ. Because Jesus walked this path before you. He experienced that same rejection and that same animosity. And Peter reminds us that such was his lot, that he came to earth to give. Peter makes the bold statement that you will be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. That same presence that stood with Jesus at the crucifixion is with you. As Paul puts it, the last enemy had to be destroyed. Death itself was overcome when after 3 days, he rose. In the Jewish mind, 3 days was proof of death. And so death itself spent 3 days and died because his Father's will, his submission, raised him in power to a new life. Peter says, it's the same way with you. You are blessed above all these insights. Peter appeals to some words from Isaiah. He says, the Spirit rests on you. Above all else, as Don pointed out earlier, God is with you through this. And that's why you can rejoice in your suffering. We have seen our Savior rejoice in his suffering. We've seen our Father raise him to a new life such that death no longer holds any concern. Let's go to God now as we break this bread. Father, it's hard for us sometimes when we look around us at a broken world to be people of rejoicing. But we know that death has been beaten, that at Calvary, he gave himself up in our place, and that that tomb was found empty 3 days later, such that death no longer has mastery over us. Father, we celebrate the fact that he was willing to walk this earth, that he came to be that lamb of sacrifice on our behalf. We praise you, Father, and we rejoice in the knowledge that your Spirit is with us each and every day. Amen. Baker's commentary on the New Testament of 1 Peter, a woman named Karen Hobbs writes the following: the life of the Christian and the life of Christ are inseparable. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. If you suffer as a Christian, praise God that you wear his name. That name signifies belonging, belonging to a family. And the Father wants nothing more than to bring you home to his banquet and show you the full extent of his love. What a party it will be when he opens that door and we are in his presence forever. Let's go to him again in prayer. Father, we drink this cup now to remind us of his blood that was shed for us. But as Karen points out, the blood was his blood, but it covers us. And now our lives are completely intertwined with his. We thank you for his gift of cleansing. We thank you that we walk now in newness of life. And Father, we look forward with so much joy, as Peter speaks of, for the glory that will be revealed when we can sit at your banquet table. Amen.
Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward one another that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify your God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Amen.
The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. You can find out more about the congregation and get in touch by visiting beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca or our Facebook page.